Hey everybody, happy Easter. Happy Easter. We're so glad that you decided to join us for this online Easter worship experience here at the Fountain. I wonder today if we can just kind of have a conversation like we're normal people today. Because I have been turning on the news lately, as you probably have as well, and I am tired of hearing bad news. Amen? I am tired of turning on the news, and it seems like it's all bad news right now. It seems like it's all bad news. In fact, this Easter, it seems like the grave in our grave situation has tried to rob Easter. It's tried to hijack Easter again, just like it did on the first Easter. But I want you to know, here's some good news for you today as we're getting started. Is that whatever, in the middle of whatever situation that you're in, I want you to know that the stone has been rolled away, that the tomb is empty, and that Jesus, our Savior, has risen from the dead. Isn't that good news? It means that Jesus is alive, and he's available to work in your life and in my life, even today. But here's the thing. I want to just kind of call out the elephant in all of our rooms, because we are all kind of experiencing Easter not together physically. Thank God for modern technology. But let's just call out the elephant in the room. I know that you're probably thinking that this has to be the strangest Easter ever. This has to be the strangest Easter ever. And you probably, as you were getting ready this morning or whenever you're watching, as you were getting ready to turn this on, maybe you're still in pajamas, that's okay as well. I imagine that you were going through in your head the things that are going to be different, the things that you're not going to experience this Easter. For many of us, we show up at church with a packed room of people so excited to sing and to celebrate that Jesus is risen. We shake hands and we hug people's necks and we get to be with each other, and it's different this year. I think a lot of us, we can relate to, for a lot of us, we wear pastels on Easter, and or let me speak to the men for a minute. We wear whatever the women tell us to wear. For a lot of us, we experience, after church, we have a massive Easter egg hunt where we invite the whole community, and there's kids that are laughing and playing and adults that are chasing eggs as well. And it's just different this year. It's different this year. And I think we might be tempted to think that this year is probably the first Easter that's ever been like this. You might be thinking this Easter has to be the first Easter that's ever been like this. But I want you to know, interestingly enough, that the very first Easter started out just like this. You heard me right. The first Easter started out just like this. How? Well, people were searching for hope. People were disappointed when Easter began. Everybody was kind of surrounded by this great fear, by this uncertainty of what was going to happen next. In fact, on the first Easter Sunday, you know where the disciples were on the first Easter Sunday? They were hiding in their houses. The door was locked in their houses. They were hiding in their homes, almost like they isolated themselves in their homes together. And everybody was kind of overwhelmed and overcome with fear. And so, sounds familiar, right? And so I want you to see this Easter truth today, because I believe it speaks right into our situation. For them, the disciples were hiding in their homes because on Friday, everybody had watched as Jesus, their Savior, as Jesus, their hero, was crucified on a cross, and he died. And when he died, some of the disciples were hiding in their homes in fear with the door locked, because they realized we're followers of Jesus, and if they did that to Jesus, maybe they'll do the same thing to us. And think about, for the disciples, everything that they had lost. I mean, they had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had left everything to follow Jesus with all that they had for 3 years. And they had seen the miracles. They had seen his teachings. They had been in his presence and encountered a love in him that they knew had to have come from the very heart of God. And yet in this moment, here they were, and they were realizing after all that they had been through that they had put their hope in Jesus. They believed in that he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But yet when Jesus died on the cross, it was almost like all of their hope had been crucified with him. All of their hope was shattered and gone, and everybody was left feeling kind of lost. A lot of people felt kind of numb, not knowing kind of what to feel. Everybody felt defeated, didn't even know where to turn. And so before Easter Sunday happened, before the resurrection experience happened, everybody thought that death had won again. Everybody thought that, well, I guess it means that we are all still stuck in our sins with no pathway to have a relationship with God because everything is done. It's over. And so here's what I want to show you today. Here's what I want to show you today and how it applies, the Easter story applies to what's going on in our lives today. I want you to see today is that we all need Easter. We all need Easter. They needed Easter to happen on the first Easter, but you need Easter too. You need Easter too. And so, you know, right now we're surrounded by so much uncertainty, by so much losses that are happening everywhere. And I just believe that we need hope of Easter. We need the hope of Easter. We need to know in a seasons of uncertainty, we need to be reminded that there is certainty in God's presence. There's certainty of God's presence and his power in our lives. And we need to be reminded that Jesus is victorious and he can bring resurrection out of even dead situations. And so before we get to the scene with the disciples where they're hiding in fear, let's travel to the very first scene that happens on Easter Sunday, the scene at the tomb. So let's check it out. It's going to be in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 1. Here we go. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. It had already been rolled away. And so this is early on Easter Sunday, really early in the morning. And the women and nobody else were expecting a resurrection, you know? Nobody was standing by at the tomb counting down, waiting on the big reveal, you know? The women went to the tomb not with hope of a resurrection. They went to the tomb with spices. They were going to prepare Jesus' body for a proper burial. They were going with spices. And so these Spice Girls, hello, right? These Spice Girls, they had the kind of quiet strength in the middle of their disappointment to still go back to the place where their dream had died and still do the best that they could with what they had. They were trying to honor God through it. And I want you to notice here, who is missing from the scene? You know, who's missing from the scene here? Now, before everybody says, Jesus, yeah, we know Jesus is going to be missing in a minute, but who else is missing at the scene? Peter. Peter, this man who had this enormous faith in Jesus, he was missing. You may remember Peter was the same guy. He was the same guy who basically had this bold faith that got out of the boat when they were in the middle of the lake, and he tried to walk to Jesus on top of the water. Peter was the guy who, when Jesus was getting arrested, he took a sword out, and he cut off the soldier's ear, trying to prevent them from getting Jesus. Peter's the same guy that at the Last Supper, Peter said, "Jesus, if everybody else denies you and turns away from you, I never will." And Jesus said, "Actually, before the rooster crows, before I die on the cross, you're going to deny me three times." And he does. And so here's the question, where's Peter? But it's kind of an indictment on all the men, all the disciples. Where are all the men? You know, all the men, what were they doing? They were all missing because they were hiding in fear. They were hiding in fear in their homes instead of taking hold of their faith, They were hiding in fear instead of taking hold of their faith, of what Jesus told them he was going to do after 3 days. And so on the way to the tomb, this really interesting scene happens. The women are walking to the scene at the tomb, probably very mournful as they're walking together, very disappointed. And they're walking together, and they start to realize, wait a minute, we're not strong enough to roll, to move the stone on our own. We're not strong enough to move the stone on our own. There's a stone over the cave, and we can't physically do that. But instead of letting that stop them, they kept walking forward toward what they felt like God wanted them to do. In that moment, they didn't turn around and say, well, Salome, why didn't you get Peter to come with us? Why didn't you get James and John? They could have helped us move the stone. They weren't blaming and making accusations. They just walked forward toward where God was wanting. They felt like God was wanting them to go. And they asked this question. They just said, who's going to move the stone? Who's going to move the stone? Here's the good news that one pastor once said. Here's what this means for us, is that God is already working out what you're worried about. God is already working out what you're worried about. See, the women, they were so worried that they weren't going to have the strength to move the stone away, to do what God was inviting them to do, or what they were thought God wanted them to do. And the Bible says, though, when they got to the tomb, what they were worried about, the stone that was too big for them to move on their own, the Bible says that the stone had already been moved. It had been moved by the hand of God through the angelic messenger that we're about to encounter here in a minute. But let me just ask you this. Have you ever noticed that we often spend so much energy worrying about an obstacle or uncertainty that's in front of us? Man, we spend so much time worrying about obstacles or uncertainties of, I don't know what's going to happen, that are in front of us. And I think especially right now, this is a time where there are so many reasons to worry. Like, there is real uncertainty around us, right? There's real losses that are going on. Some of you are getting news about some of that when it comes to jobs and income. And some of us are worried about the uncertainty of our health and the uncertainty of even just, are things ever going to get back to normal? So there's all sorts of reasons to worry right now. But let me tell you this. God often does his best work when there's a stone in your way that you can't move on your own. Let me say that again. God often does his best work when there's a stone in your way that you can't move on your own. What? I mean, just look all throughout the scripture. When there is an obstacle, when there's a barrier in your life, when somebody is in the middle of disappointment, when there's uncertainty, what does God do? It's the perfect climate for God to display his love, his power, and his presence in your life. In fact, I want you to know, for some of you, first of all, I don't believe that God has caused any of this stuff to happen. But I do believe that God can work in the middle of it. And I just know that for some of you, maybe somebody who is watching today, this season, God might use this season to show you for the very first time that God is real, that he's real and he's alive. But let me just tell you this. So let me ask you this question. What stone is standing in your way right now? What heavy stone is standing in your way right now? Is there an obstacle or a barrier that you just can't seem to overcome in your life? Remember, friends, God is already working out what you're worried about. God is already working out what you're worried about. In fact, I want you to know that Jesus is outside of time. And as we're worried about something in the present moment, Jesus is already standing on the other side of it. He's standing victorious on the other side of the thing that you've been worried about this whole time. And he's standing there and saying, look, I've already had the victory over the thing that you've been stressing about. And at the same time, he can come back to us in our present time, and he can be with us in the middle of where we are, and he can lead us forward, showing us how we can walk forward in victory. That's how good our God is. And so here's the thing. Here's the first thing I want to tell you. First point about what Easter is all about, what it means. Number one, it means that Jesus has the power to move the biggest stones in your life. Jesus has the power to move the biggest stones in your life. If, just like the women, you'll keep stepping forward with faith in the direction of God. You will experience that if you keep walking forward, stepping forward in the direction of God, depending on God's strength. So let's continue reading Mark chapter 16, continuing in verse 5. It says this: "As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." Hashtag angel alert, okay? He says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go." In other words, you can look, but don't stay long. You can look, but don't stay here long, because you aren't made to stay in the tomb. He says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And we know later they said a lot to everyone, but basically what it's saying is in the middle of this, they didn't try to get their story straight. They didn't talk about it as they left from there and said, "Hey, well, what do you want to tell them? Let's get our story straight." No, they walked away trembling and bewildered at what they had just encountered. Because remember, these women, they didn't go to the tomb. They didn't go to the tomb waiting on the resurrection. They went ready and expecting a funeral scene. They were probably dressed in black, wearing, bringing their spices. They're probably mourning as they're walking toward the scene of the tomb. And that's why the scripture said they were so confused. They were so confused when they found the empty tomb. Scripture says that they were trembled and bewildered. I mean, it would be like showing up at a funeral and there's a casket there. And there was a body in the casket and they shut the casket. And when they open it back up, all of a sudden at the funeral, there's no more body anymore, right? That would be a scary funeral, y'all. That would be scary. But this is basically what happened. That's the message of what happened on Easter. And it wasn't because somebody stole the body. That's why God sent the angel, the messenger from heaven, to communicate, to overly communicate the good news on Easter, that Jesus is risen. He's not here because he's alive. He stepped away from this dead place and he's going to living things, right? And so right there, they realized that God could turn a death moment that was final into a resurrection moment that could impact there forever. And so here's the second thing I want you to see about the good news of Easter. Number two, anything that's dead in us can be raised to life in Christ. Anything that's dead in us can be raised to life in Christ. And so let me ask you this question. Where do you need God to bring resurrection to your life? Where do you need to see a resurrection moment in your life? You know, like, is there a dead place in your life? Is there a place that's empty or broken? Is there a place where you just need God to move into your neighborhood, into your life, and to make that area alive? You know, there's a lot of small deaths, figuratively, that are going on right now. There's a lot of losses that people are experiencing right now. Losses of, things that we had scheduled. Losses of job stuff. Maybe there's some deaths when it comes to your relationships or your faith. Maybe there's a dream that you had that seems like it's either dead or maybe it's on the way to dying. Maybe you're in a situation right now that as things have kind of calmed down around us, maybe you realize that you have been living life, but nothing in you feels like it's alive. You know, Jesus, I want you to know, friends, that Jesus is in the resurrection business. Like, if you will bring your dead places to him, Jesus can breathe life. He can breathe life into those dead places. You know, friends, we are living in such a strange time right now. We're turning on the TV. I've been doing this every day around lunchtime. I've been turning on the news. And every single time I turn on the news, there is a new number that has been flashing on the screen. There's a new number, a ticker tape that's been flashing on the screen. It's a statistic. And at first, when I see it, I just see it as another statistic. Oh, this statistic has gone up. Oh, it's gone up a little bit more today. And then when I come to my senses, I start to realize that, those numbers are not just a number. Those numbers are people. They're people who are literally getting sick right now. People who are literally dying right now. And every day, the number has been going up and up and up. And as I'm watching that, to me, it was just a number when it flashed across the screen. But what I realized is that God loves the world so much that those numbers aren't numbers. They're names. They're names. I realized that in God's eyes, every number has a name. Every name has a story. And every story matters to God. In fact, Jesus didn't go to the cross thinking about a number. Jesus went to the cross thinking about names. Your name and my name and the names of every person all over the world. And so he willingly bled on the cross thinking of us. He gave his life for us so that we could live. He died on the cross to pay the penalty that our sins deserve so that all of us could be united to God. But the story didn't end on Good Friday at the cross. The story was finalized at the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, Easter reminds us that Jesus got out of the grave in order to bring you out of yours. Jesus got out of the grave to bring you out of yours. And to show that anything that's dead in us can be raised to life in Christ. Will you bring those dead places to Jesus and let him turn them to a resurrection moment? You know, I think that's also why the angel communicated and specifically called out Peter in this announcement. I don't know if you saw that, but it's really interesting. Here's what it says in verse 7. Let's go back. The angel is saying to the women, it says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." See, why call out Peter? It wasn't because Peter was separated from the disciples. They were all together. I think it's because God sent a messenger from heaven to speak specifically to Peter. Because Peter probably thought that if Jesus is alive, then my relationship with Jesus is dead. Like I have disappointed him so much and there's no turning back. You know, it's one of those things where God sent this angelic messenger specifically to Peter, to people like Peter, with a special word of hope, with a special word of forgiveness and of restoration, that the one who had disappointed Jesus the most was singled out and was invited to experience redemption. And you know what I love about that part of the story? It's because for anybody, for me and for anybody out there who feels like you've ever disappointed God, it gives me hope that your name could be inserted right there as well, that my name could be included, that we're all invited to experience the power of redemption, of what Jesus invited them to do. You know, you may be wondering, as we've been reading this, well, what about the men that you brought up at the beginning? Like, what about the disciples? Where are they? Well, let's pick up their story as we close up. Let's pick up their story later in the day on Easter Sunday, that evening, John chapter 20, starting with verse 19. Here's what it says. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Of course they were, right? Of course they were overjoyed. But in this moment, the men, what were they doing? They were hiding in their homes. The door was locked. They were overcome with fear because everything around them felt like chaos. Everything around them felt like it was falling apart. Maybe you can relate to that, especially if you've got kids, right? Everything felt like chaos. And yet in the middle of their fear and in the middle of the chaos that was around them, the resurrected Jesus came and he didn't just leave them alone. What did Jesus do? He brought his presence right into the middle of their chaos. How did he do it? Well, they're standing in the room and all of a sudden Jesus just appears. The doors were locked. So I don't know if he sucked through the walls or what, but all of a sudden, like a ghost, Jesus appeared to them. But then to show that he wasn't just a ghost, that he was really alive, he said to them, "Hey folks, hey friends, I want you to feel the nail marks where the nails were driven into my hands, and feel my side where the spear pierced me. And they felt his hands, and they felt where the spear went into his side. And they realized that Jesus was not just a ghost, that Jesus was really alive, that he was really present with them. And it's one of those things where here's the good news of Easter. Number three is that Jesus can bring peace in the middle of your chaos. Jesus can bring peace in the middle of your chaos. See, sometimes we think that peace only comes when if God can just remove the chaos. That we often think it's all about just getting God to remove the chaos from our life, then we'll finally have peace. And maybe you've been praying, God, would you just take away this chaos? Keep praying that. That's a good prayer. But I want you to know that God's peace isn't contingent on the amount of chaos around you. Because the truth is, Jesus didn't take away the chaos and the mystery of what happened on Easter from them. Instead, what did Jesus do? Jesus reminded them, and he reminded us, that he is really present right in the middle of the mess, right in the middle of the chaos of whatever situation that we're in. And so, friends, I want you to know this Easter that the same Jesus who was raised from the grave is available to work in your life. Like, he has the power to take the biggest stones that are preventing you, the biggest barriers in your life, and he can move the biggest stones in your life. I want you to know that he can take anything that's dead in you and make you alive. And he can bring you peace because he's present with you in the middle of your chaos. And so, friends, that's why I believe we all need Easter. We all need Easter. And this Easter hope that we're talking about today can be your hope. If today that you will put your hope, your trust, and your faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us so much that you were willing to send your one and only Son into the world, God in the flesh, to live among us, to show us what love looks like, and then to die on an old rugged cross, a sinless death, so that we could live in you, so that we could be united to you, so that we don't have to work and pay the penalty that our sins deserve, that we could have a relationship with you. But God, I thank you that the story didn't end on Easter. The story didn't end on the cross. It was finalized on Easter Sunday when you got out of that grave in order to get us out of ours. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have the power to move any stone in our life. God, I thank you that we can bring any dead place in our life to you, and you have the power to make it alive. And God, I pray that you would bring peace in the middle of whatever chaos we're in. But I also want to pray right now specifically for someone out there who maybe has never entered into a relationship with Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus has already won for you on the cross and through the resurrection, a relationship that you don't have to do anything and get on a hamster wheel to prove yourself to God. Simply, all the invitation is this. Jesus has offered his grace to you by what he's done. And the invitation of heaven is to place your faith in him, to say yes to that grace. And if that's you, if you want to pray that, you can just pray a prayer right where you are, and God will hear you. Heavenly Father, I know that I need you in my life. I pray, God, that in this moment that you would help me to realize all that you've done in my life. God, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And you got out of that grave to bring me to life. And Jesus, I want to say yes to that today. Today, I turn from my way of living, and I turn to your way of living. I want you to be the Lord and my leader. But also, Jesus, today, trust you to be the Savior of my sins. Jesus, would you come inside of me today and bring resurrection to every area of my life? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.